In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, as you know, in addition to the literal sense of sacred scripture, there's very often a more hidden spiritual sense, which it behooves us to learn and appreciate. We see St. John the Baptist crying out today to make straight the way of the Lord. And in doing so, he's drawing a parallel between himself and that of the prophet Isaiah, specifically the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. St. Francis de Sales notes that the people of Israel had been led forth into captivity by the Gentiles and sent as prisoners among the Medes and the Persians. After their long captivity, the good King Cyrus decided to free them from that slavery and lead them back into the promised land. Foreseeing this, the prophet Isaiah wrote these beautiful and heavenly poetic words. O people of Israel, be consoled and comforted. Again, I tell you, be consoled and comforted. Let these words console you because your malice and your wickedness have reached their height. Your sins shall be forgiven. Therefore, make level your ways and straight your roads, so that Cyrus may find no rough ways while leading the people back to the promised land. This is how the ancient fathers say that these words should be understood. When they had reached the limit of their labors and sufferings and had in slavery and bondage come to a greater sense of their iniquities, when they had been punished enough for their wickedness by such tribulation, then I, the Lord, cast my compassionate eyes upon them. At the height of their malice, during the worst of their days, I was satisfied that they had suffered enough for their sins, and therefore I determined that their sins shall be forgiven. St. Francis de Sales gives us yet another sense in which for understanding these words. That is, when they have reached the height, the noontide, the high point of their wickedness and ingratitude, and when all memory of God and his benefits is gone, then their sins will be forgiven. And at that very moment when they deserve to be cast aside, God will pardon them and no longer remember their wickedness. When they deserve God's pardon the least, that is the very moment when he will show them mercy, or perhaps we could say, when that is the very moment that he will come to them, make his mercy known, and appeal to them to repent. Who can fathom God's providence? It is wonderful and simply beyond our understanding. Certainly, whenever divine providence revealed the greatness of his mercy in the past, it was always in the most surprising ways. When there was nothing to hope for but the fury of his wrath and the terror of his justice, when there was no hope of mercy, it was precisely then that he let his awe-inspiring deeds shine forth. For example, in such wonderful episodes as the prophet Jonah and the conversion of the Ninevites. Indeed, these are examples of God's great goodness to the human family, to bestow his graces upon creatures, to pardon continually their daily faults against him, and to reward their slightest services with the greatest favors. According to the vast majority of Catholic theologians, the one who cooperates with God's first grace disposes himself to receive the second. And by cooperating with the second, he is prepared to obtain the third, and then the fourth, and then the so on, consecutively, until the soul has made that act which is absolutely necessary for obtaining God's pardon, repentance. But when, over and above this, his providence wanted to make an even more glorious revelation of his mercy, it was by a most wonderful deed, one in which he willed that no exterior motive should induce him to act. Urged solely by his goodness, he communicated himself in a holy, marvelous way when he came down into this world. The incarnation took place at a time when men were at the height of their wickedness, when the Jews were without king and the laws were in the hands of Annas and Caiaphas, who were wicked men, when Herod reigned and Pontius Pilate was governor, when there were no worthy priests, when both priests and people constituted an evil generation, when the world had reached the high point of wickedness, God came to us to redeem us and deliver us. Certainly the heart of our dear Savior and Master was wholly filled with mercy and kindness for the human family. In this one act, he gave abundant witness to it, as he did on many other occasions. When did he pardon St. Paul? When he was at the height of his malice, his sins were forgiven him. In the moment of his greatest hatred and fury against Jesus Christ, not able to vent his rage against Jesus himself, he directed his wrath against his church, but with such fury that he foamed with rage like one insane, a madman totally beside himself. It was precisely at this point that our Lord countered his malice and ingratitude with meekness and infinite mercy, touching him and pardoning all his iniquities at the very moment when he had completely forfeited such mercy. This, then, is the extent to which the good Lord humbles and condescends to our weakness and our evil nature. Will we not let this finally convert our hearts? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.